Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Somewhere right now, as she gets ready for the late show with Stephen Colbert, R&B legend Dionne Warwick, who suggested I be put on paid leave when I dunked an Oreo in mayonnaise in the Duke's Mayo Bowl, is seething knowing I haven't learned my lesson here on Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And we will get to plenty of that coming up in the next hour here. I will pay my debt to Chris Canty after what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did to the Philadelphia Eagles by more than 8.5 points in that game. But before we get to all that, we got to make everyone smarter around here. And to help us do that, we head out to the phone lines to talk to ESPN NFL analyst Matt Bowen. Does a great job all over the network as a part of the NFL matchup show, giving you guys great insight into everything that's gone on this weekend and beyond. Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. And we wanted to take a look. We're at the midway point of the week. We've started to turn the page on Super Wild Card Weekend. And getting ready to forecast what's coming up here, Josh Allen and what he did this past weekend for the Buffalo Bills, Matt, what he's done against the Patriots in the last couple outings has been outstanding. What is it about what he did that can be replicated against Kansas City and what they do on defense?
I think a couple of things. One, the vertical throws down the field. If you go back to week five, and look, we know these rosters have changed a little bit. The game's a long time ago, but it's still coaches versus coaches. You look at Brian Daboll versus Steve Spagnuolo, and what they did, they were selectively aggressive down the field when they took their vertical shot. They schemed up two deep zone coverage on a deep ball to Stephon Diggs. They took the vertical outside versus three deep zone coverage to Emmanuel Sanders down the field. And then you had Josh, who can do what a lot of quarterbacks can't, the ability to play outside of structure, make those second reaction plays, and use his legs. And the other thing I'll mention in here, and we're going to look at this in the matchup show this week, is the design run concepts for Josh Allen. He's had 79 carries, including the playoffs, 79 carries in design runs this year, 5 rushing touchdowns. He had one in that week 5 game against Kansas City, too. And everyone understands when the quarterback is a ball carrier, puts a lot more stress on the defense. But, you know, going back to your point about what he did against New England, you know, plays outside of structure, using his legs, attacking down the field, attacking both man and zone coverage, which you'll see versus Kansas City. And Brian Daboll will set him up.
Matt, looking at the divisional round matchup between the Rams and the Bucks, Raheem Morris put on a masterclass when it comes to calling a defense against the Arizona Cardinals on Monday night. And knowing that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a little bit shorthanded when it comes to some of their skill position players, are the Bucks in trouble going into this game against the Rams?
It's a great question, Chris. And I'll say this. You know, you mentioned different personnel, right? Obviously, they've had changes at the wide receiver position with injuries and other situations in Tampa. So you look at Mike Evans, okay, and how he's utilized. And the Rams are really our zone-heavy defense. A lot of late rotation to three-deep zone. We'll play some split-field zone as well. This is what I'm looking for in this game. Jalen Ramsey, he's played a lot inside this year in the slot position as a slot corner. But do they bump him outside, play more matchup when they do play zone, and put him over the top of Mike Evans, especially when Mike Evans is the backside X receiver. What that means, that's a single receiver away from the trip side of the formation, usually into the boundary side of the field. And that's what I want to see. Can they put Jalen Ramsey on Mike Evans in that situation? Because if they don't, now you can move Mike Evans around a little bit, get him the targets. I think he's got a better matchup versus cornerback Darius Williams in that football game. And also, remember Rob Gronkowski, what they can do with him in the middle of the field. That's where Tom Brady wants to throw the football. And Tom Brady is still the best at anticipating zone windows, throwing with precise ball location. There are ways to scheme up zone coverage where we can get Gronk loose on seams and crossers in the middle of the field.
Canty and Golic Jr. talking to ESPN NFL analyst Matt Bowen on the Goodyear Hotline, starting to look ahead towards the divisional round this weekend. And while all eyes are going to be on some of the one seeds getting involved in here, the Green Bay Packers taking on the San Francisco 49ers, Matt, I feel like especially in the last week with the rise of Deebo Samuel over the course of this season, so many people have been enamored once again by Kyle Shanahan and this 49ers offense. What's the key to what they do offensively that provided such a tough matchup last weekend for the Cowboys and may do the same for Green Bay this weekend?
Yeah, Mike, what I see there is obviously the run game is the foundation of that offense with Kyle Shanahan, but how they script their run game. You know, really, they want to attack the perimeter first. And they use a lot of formations, a lot of shifts, a lot of motions, a lot of movements. Why they do that? To get numbers advantage at the point of attack in the run game, and also to create better blocking angles. They can influence second-level defenders with all that pre-snap movement. But when, you know, one thing I think that stands out about this game, you mentioned Deebo. They will try to get Deebo to the edge. There's no question about it. But when they don't get to the edge consistently, like you saw early in that Dallas game, what they do, Mike, and you know this better than anyone, they go to more gap or power schemes. And then they start to run downhill with Elijah Mitchell. So there's different ways they can attack you in the run game. That's why they're so good at what they do. And we know off of that, Mike, now comes your play-action concepts with Jimmy Garoppolo. When they can create those defined windows where Jimmy can set his feet in the pocket and get the ball out an in-breaker, especially to Deebo in the pass game and Brandon Ayuk and George Kittle, then they become so dangerous and so multiple.
Talking with ESPN NFL analyst Matt Bowen. And Matt, the last game in the divisional round between the Titans and the Cincinnati Bengals, it feels like Tennessee is the most disrespected one seed in the history of the modern-day playoffs. But I wanted to ask you, when it comes down to a team like this that boasts wins against four teams that are still currently in the playoff field, what's going to be the key for the Tennessee Titans to take care of their business against the Bengals this coming weekend?
Well, I think obviously we all understand that if Derrick Henry is back and Derrick Henry gets the normal workload, that's going to be a heavy volume game for him. You're thinking 20, 25 carries. We understand that leads into play action throws for Ryan Tannehill, the end breakers to A.J. Brown. But I really think, Chris, to answer your question, I think it's the Tennessee defensive front. Again, you talk about teams that aren't discussed all the time. You know, Tennessee has one of the best defensive lines in football. When you talk about their sub package, their ability to rush the passer, with Justin Simmons, with Autry, with Bud Dupree, with Harold Landry. And I think they will try to speed up the processing ability for Joe Burrow to make him feel pressure. And, Chris, as you know, it's not always sacks. Just the ability to create pressure. We saw that from the Niners versus Dak Prescott last week and how that disrupted the Dallas offense. You can create pressure versus Joe Burrow, create some unnecessary movement, take them off rhythm. I think that's a big advantage for Tennessee going into this game because they don't blitz a lot. One of the lowest blitz rates in the league. They don't play a bunch of man coverage. They're going to play a lot of zone coverage, whether two deep or three deep, and rely on that defensive front to heat up Joe Burrow.
It's going to be an incredible weekend. So many great pieces, so many great matchups over the course of all of this. Matt Bowen, our ESPN NFL analyst, is going to do a great job, as always, breaking them down on NFL matchup coming up this week here. Matt, we appreciate you giving us some time here, making all of our listeners smarter. Hopefully we'll get to talk to you again soon as the playoffs keep rolling.
All right, guys, enjoy the games. We'll talk soon.
At MattBowen41 on Twitter is where you can check him out here. And, Chris, I think when we talk about the Titans and all that goes into that, we'll talk to Ramon Foster, by the way, who does a great job on the radio down there in Titans country in Nashville, about how this feels locally around there. I think that's where it's going to keep coming back to is the lines of scrimmage for this team. We talk about it so much as the strength for a team like the 49ers that's making a run right now. We need to all remember what this Titans team did to outfits like the Colts, like the Bills, like the Chiefs during the regular season, because it was damn impressive.
And not only that, what they also did to the Rams and what they did to the San Francisco 49ers as well. A team that prides themselves on being physical got out-physicaled by the Titans. And that's got to be their calling card if they're going to have a chance to be able to win in the postseason and go on a run. Physicality, Mike, as you know, is the great equalizer. That's why all of these NFL coaches talk about being strong up front in the trenches, because physicality can offset whatever other deficiencies that your football team might have. And though there are warts aplenty for the Tennessee Titans, one of the things that we can't say about this team is that they're soft. They take on the personality of their head coach, Mike Vrabel, who was a tough son of a gun, and I would anticipate that that's going to be how they approach the playoffs. We had Kevin Byard on our show before the regular season kicked off, before week one, and he said it was championship or bust for this team. That was the collective mentality of the guys in that locker room. And here we are on the eve of the divisional round, and we're talking about the Tennessee Titans coming off a bye and hosting a home playoff game. So it'll be on full display this coming weekend against the Cincinnati Bengals, but I would anticipate that the Tennessee Titans are going to make some waves in terms of their performance and letting everybody know that they felt disrespected, they felt slighted coming into this matchup.
It is wild to go back and look at their schedule in the middle of the season. Consecutive wins against the Bills, Chiefs, Colts, Rams, and Saints in the middle of that regular season block here. That's what's going to be coming back to us in the one seed for the AFC. Coming up next, though, for a lot of teams that have gotten a jump start on their offseason, it's now time to hear the executives do some talking. We'll tell you why you always need to consider the source before you believe what your favorite team has to say about your quarterback or coach heading into the offseason. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save with Progressive save over $700 on average. Call or click today. And it's so funny, around the postseason, we get all these highlights of, you know, postseason moments from the past here. We mentioned Josh Allen touching rarefied air, had one of the top five passer rating games in postseason history. And anytime we look back, Chris Canty asked this question during the break, and it's so true. Why the hell does it seem like players look so much older back then? Like, I don't want to get full Michael Irvin back when we were playing, when it was cold, we were really cold. But, Chris, I think it was the mustaches. Like, the proliferation of mustaches amongst 20 to 30-year-olds in the NFL back then just made them all look somehow older than the guys we got going out now.
Yeah, those guys looked a lot more grizzled. And if you go really far back in the day, you got to remember – those dudes had other jobs during the offseason. Like, they had a whole lot of life throughout the course of their playing careers in their 20s and early 30s. So I'm 100% with you. And then hearing the stories about how some guys will be smoking squares on their way out to practice, or when I got into the league, guys had the dip cans in their sock. Like, it was just a different world. It was a different NFL. It was clearly grown man business. But as the business evolved, it became about getting younger and cheaper, and that's why I think it looks a lot different with today's athletes.
That is true, and everyone started, like, taking care of their bodies because, I mean, God, we got all these famous pictures of guys ripping cigarettes in the locker rooms and stuff. Like, to your point, you're eating – like, I was talking to my dad about this the other day. My dad was a 10th-round draft pick in 1985 to the Houston Oilers, and he was on IR his first year. And he was telling us he lived alone before my mom got down to Houston with him. And my dad's like, I would stop home every day, and I quickly realized cooking for myself wasn't going to be in the cards. And so I had two places that I stopped by on the way home. One would serve me an entire pan pizza, and the other was buying iced honey buns from the gas station. That was my dad's professional athlete diet at the beginning of his career in 1985. Like, Chris, could you imagine selling that to some sort of strength and conditioning nutrition department in an NFL locker room now?
Not at all. That's not going to fly, man. But listen, it was a different culture back then, and it was a different level of toughness, too. Some of the things that those guys had to go through in comparison to us now, like, they don't have any more two-a-days, Gojo. Back then, I mean, you're talking about not only having two-a-days, but some coaches had three-a-days. It was unbelievable. Training camp was 2 months long. Like, it was I don't want to sound like the guy that's saying, get off my lawn, because I'm talking about an era where I didn't actually even play. These are the stories that I'm getting passed down secondhand. But it just seems like it was a different world when it came to what the NFL was all about versus now, where athletes are much more aware of how they take care of their bodies, how they train, and all of the different stuff. But again, they have an incentive to, because the money is so big now, Gojo. Back then, guys had to have other jobs to make ends meet. That's not the case with today's NFL.
No, it is so true. The inflation on the price of cigarettes has gone up enough to where that is absolutely necessary if you want to go and get your Len Dawson on in all of this. So, Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. And in addition to players looking younger now and all the things that are going on, Chris, we are now in the midst of talking season in the NFL offseason here as some teams get a jump start after Super Wild Card Weekend. We got a couple of sound bites. I want to play these for you and try and figure out who the hell we believe going forward here, because we have some decisions that are going to get made around the most important positions in football. I want to start with Eagles GM Howie Roseman. He went on talking in their press conference after their loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and mention what he expects for their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, heading into next year.
Are you going into this offseason with the mindset that Jalen Hurts is your quarterback in 2022?
Yes. I think for us, we got to do whatever we can to continue to help him develop. And how do we do that? By surrounding him with really good players. Players continue to grow. That's a huge part of developing. They grow. How they are in their second year is not how they're going to be in year 4, 5, 6, and 7, and they're also products of the people around them. So that's on us to continue to build this team.
Chris, do you believe Howie Roseman?
Yeah, I buy into what he's saying. And I remember what Kevin Negandhi said when he was on our show in the 4 o'clock hour, and I get that that's something that the GM has to actually come out and say, because you don't know the options that will be available to you via free agency, via trade. But at the same time, you're talking about a quarterback that in his second year was able to lead your team to a playoff berth. And, you know, knowing that he's under a rookie contract for at least two more seasons, you have the ability to be able to control him for a couple of years after that with franchise tags. It just seems like this is the spot where the Eagles can allocate some of those draft picks, that draft capital, to other areas of their team to continue to fill out the rest of the roster. Because, Gojo, in my mind, there's no clear upgrade when it comes to the draft in the quarterbacks that are going to be available. There's nobody that I would point to and say that that person from a talent standpoint is head and shoulders above what Jalen Hurts is bringing to the table. Now, are there guys in this draft that are better throwers of the football? Sure, but there are other things that Jalen Hurts does well, including being a runner, and we saw this Eagles offense take on that identity and have a lot of success doing it. So I don't know. I think I side with where Howie Roseman is coming from. You got a lot of players on the defensive side of the ball that are going to be impending free agents, so you got to replenish the ranks on that side. To me, that's what you use your draft capital on to continue to build this roster out, and you see what Jalen Hurts developed into going into year three. And then after that, if you still feel like you don't have your guy, then you can be aggressive about trying to hunt a quarterback in the draft.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this is always going to be about how you scout the following class, right? We look at Bryce Young, the Heisman Trophy winner from this year, who could be the headliner for the 2023 NFL draft. And if you can make moves to position yourself at the top of that and say, hey, we'll hang on for that if we can't get one of the veterans this offseason. The one name that I want to keep in mind with that, because a lot of people are going to talk about Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, what they can do at the top of the draft here. Matt Corral is fascinating to me. That's a guy who displayed a lot of the same competitive toughness that we saw from Jalen Hurts, was a runner when his team needed him to be at Ole Miss, has that arm to go and operate the offense, and did a lot of maturing in the last year. If you got three first-round picks, I'm with you. You got to address defense. Some of your best parts, Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, and others, they're getting old when we talk about that. So you've got to start to replenish the core there. But outside of that, I wouldn't hate, you know, Howie Roseman there. I can believe him when he said it's about who you surround your quarterback with. Part of that can also be competition. Because if you've got a rookie that comes in towards the back end of the first round, you don't got to guarantee he's the starter right away. You can let Jalen Hurts go out there and potentially still be the guy for this season while maybe setting yourself up. So I think it's going to be about how they scout beyond this. And to Kevin Agande's point, the veteran quarterback market this offseason, we're going to build it up. We'll see if it lives up to the hype and if the Eagles can get themselves involved in all of that. We can get to some more on the world of GMs and front office personnel getting out here and talking as we begin the offseason for some teams. But coming up next, let's get to the goods. The one seeds have joined the conversation this week in the division round, and one is tired of all the disrespect. We'll head down to Nashville to find out how Titans fans are processing all of this after this word from Wendy's. Because right now, at Wendy's, you can see what all the hype is about with their new guaranteed hot and crispy fries. We're talking real natural cut potatoes, perfectly sprinkled in sea salt, and guaranteed to be hot and crispy down to the very last fry. Or they'll replace them. These aren't just the typical fries you add to a meal. These are fries worth adding a meal to. So abandon the old, cold, and soggy. God, soggy's a gross word. You don't want soggy fries. Get out of here. You head to Wendy's today. Your fries are guaranteed to be hot and crispy. At participating U.S. Wendy's, Ramon Foster, former Pittsburgh Steeler great, joins us next to break down his former team and what to expect from the Titans on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kane Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Get in touch with us at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Who's got the most to gain heading in to the beginning of the postseason in earnest? We had Super Wild Card Weekend. It was awesome. But now we got the one seed involved. We got the division round coming up this weekend. We'll get into plenty more of that. But we knew what was at stake for this show last weekend. A bet between me and Chris Canty on the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Tampa Bay Bucks. I have the Eagles in the points with a mayo-covered cricket on the line here. And as we bring in Ramon Foster, former Pittsburgh Steelers offensive lineman, co-host of J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone. Ramon, and like the pantheon of eating nasty stuff on here, where do mayo-covered crickets fall in that? Are you shocked by this at all for me?
From you? Absolutely not, Mike. Like, you could have covered it with chocolate. You could have covered it with jelly. Even, I don't know, salt, like lemon pepper. That's very popular these days. But you chose mayo, Mike.
I chose mayo, and I chose violence.
I consider if it was lemon pepper, Mike, but nah, man, not mayo. Like, it belongs in dishes, on sandwiches, not like by itself and by the spoonful or on crickets.
Ramon, he's just staying with this thing from the Duke's Mayo Bowl, a game that he happened to be on the call for, and he dipped an Oreo in mayonnaise and ate it live on air. So I felt like it was the only way to go in terms of the natural progression, moving past the Oreos and jumping straight to the crickets. I felt like it's something that had to be done.
Hey, you know what? You ain't wrong because you know your guy over there, okay? But we gotta protect Mike at all times, okay? Because he comes on our show and he talk about this, you know, this cookie that he dipped in mayo, and I'm like, I know it's white, but it's not milk, okay? We got real live, like, other means of achieving a good snack. And mayonnaise and a cookie is not it, okay?
Hell, I like to say, no. Listen, you guys have both tried to shepherd me the right way along this. I greatly appreciate that from everybody involved in here as Ramon Foster joins us right now. It is real AFC North in here, by the way. Like, with Ramon and Chris, yeah. Like, do I need to clear out the room and get ready for Oklahoma to start live on air? You guys going to be able to play nice?
Nah, we good, Gojo. This dog don't hunt no more. So I don't know how Ramon feels, but I don't want none of that. I don't want none of that smoke. I'm all good. My cleats and my jerseys are all hung up.
Hey, Chris, I'm with you, man. The truth be told, when I see you on ESPN, I say, look at that guy acting all civilized like we didn't go to battle against each other. Who are you now, man? Who are you?
I got them all fooled, Ramon. I got them all fooled. That's why I wear the glasses, too. I got them all fooled. You ain't supposed to be telling nobody, though.
Yes. But let's be real here, man. Like, we got into some real live battles. And I'm like, is this what life is now? This guy's wearing suits and they're coordinated. He's got a nice haircut. That ain't the guy I know, man. But you know what? I'm playing the same game, so I'm with you, man. All right?
There it is. Speaking of playing games, Ramon, I got to ask you about the Tennessee Titans coming off of the bye, divisional round against the Cincinnati Bengals. It feels like they're the number one seed that's getting all the disrespect and all of this. Nobody is really giving them a chance to be able to put together a postseason run. So talk to me about why there's so much disrespect for the Tennessee Titans based on the body of work we've seen from them this season.
Man, Chris, it's exactly this, man. It's, you got a league that's full of passing quarterbacks that keep excitement high week in and week out. Even if they have a bad week, it's the idea that these guys are going to push the narrative back over the top because they're gunslingers. They can score at will. It's exciting to go watch. And then you got this team here in Tennessee that's honestly carried by the running game. I mean, historically, Earl Campbell, you look at Eddie George, you look at DeMarco Murray, you look at Chris Johnson, and now you got a guy in and Derrick Henry that's doing the exact same thing. And truth be told, it's an old-school style of playing football, and it's not even necessarily a Baltimore Ravens Jamal Lewis type because Jamal was in the era with the Baltimore Ravens to where running the football was very cool still. It was one of the main focal points of the NFL draft, and now the draft has gotten past that. No matter what, we'll see a quarterback go in the first round this year, whether we think highly of him or not, that probably wouldn't have gone, let's say, 15 years ago. And that's what the Tennessee Titans are right now. They got a guy, Ryan Tannehill, that doesn't say a whole lot, that plays the game within the confines of what the team allows it to, meaning run the game, run the ball, control the clock, and play real good defense as far as this year is concerned. That's one thing I give them credit on from last year to this year. They've overly corrected their defense that they had. And now that's why they don't get their respect, I feel like, is you don't have the guy as far as a name. As young as Joe Burrow is right now, we're all looking at Joe and saying, okay, they got a guy. Whereas Ryan Tannehill is on his second stop. He's got the opportunity to go to a Super Bowl with his team. But truth be told, Chris, he'll live in the same world as Joe Flacco if they do win the Super Bowl. Well, he relied on a running game and a defense. And it sucks, but that's just the reality of where the disrespect comes to a guy like Ryan Tannehill and as far as the Tennessee Titans go.
Ken Angola Jr. talking to Ramon Foster, former Steelers guard and co-host of J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. Ramon, has the team been leaning into that, like in the bye week and the time we've had since we've seen them? Are they leaning into that disrespect?
You know what? I don't know if it's necessarily team. I know a guy like Kevin Byard said, you know, we don't have to prove, the national media right about who we are. We just got to continue to prove it to ourselves. And that's the mantra I think they've taken on, where it's them against the world, whereas they don't get the respect they feel like they should. I think it's the idea with them that they say, we'll prove to you who we are when we see you on the field. It's one of those things, like the quiet bullet. You don't, everybody kind of picks on him to a point to where it's like, okay, when he start beating people up, that's when everybody's going to think he's crazy. Like, that's where they are as a team, man, to where they'll chip away at the run game all day long, and they just simply come out of games and wins. I was in a group chat with somebody last night, and they were just like, the Titans are for real. I'm like, look, you got to kind of stop saying that. Like, I have no dog in the fight when it comes to the Titans other than the fact that I cover them daily. But it's the idea they knocked off Kansas City, knocked off the Bills, knocked off the 49ers, knocked off the Rams all within 1 year. And some of those games, if not all of them, were without Derrick Henry. They got a method that simply works, and I feel like Vrabel and his staff has gotten those guys to just buy into, in a world of just everybody about me, they've bought into the team concept.
Ramon, we'd be remiss if we let you get out of here without asking you about the Pittsburgh Steelers, your former team. With Big Ben riding off into the sunset, how should the Steelers approach trying to replace him this offseason?
Man, it's going to be different. The one thing Pittsburgh has relied upon every single year is the fact that, you know, Seven was going to be there. The same way we talked about what Joe Burrow's done in Cincinnati, Pittsburgh is going to be looking for a guy that's very similar. What do they have to do to actually get back to the point where you got a franchise guy? They got three young guys in the building right now, Dobbs, Haskins, and Mason Rudolph. Now, the idea is if they go out and ball out, then they got their guy. I honestly think it's either that option right there or they have a bridge year in which they go draft somebody the following year. Because this guy's in the building already. I know it's been projected that, you know, Kenny Pickens is going to end up going to Pittsburgh. I just don't know if they're ready to make that type of commitment just yet. We've all heard the conversations about, you know, Aaron Rodgers potentially being on the move, or Russell Wilson potentially being on the move, or even Jimmy G for that factor. I just don't know where it's going to line up, considering you do got three young guys in that building already. And truth be told, that's the same recipe they had about 2004 when Ben came in. Tommy Maddox was there, and next thing you know, they have a bad record, and here come Ben Roethlisberger in 2004.
Going to be one of the most high-profile jobs, getting ready to go this offseason as Big Ben hangs up the cleats in Pittsburgh. We always appreciate Ramon Foster giving us some time. Moan, you're the man. I promise, I'm sure I'll make sure that video of me eating the crickets circulates so you and, you know, everyone down there get to experience all of this. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again on air soon with you.
Mike, God bless you, man. And I got to call your dad, man. We got to get to the bottom of this. Were you hugged enough as a kid?
We might need to have an intervention with him. We might.
For real, Chris. Good talking to y'all, man. I appreciate it, fellas.
All right. Thanks, Ramon. We'll talk to you soon, brother. That is Ramon Foster, co-host of J-Mart Ramon on 104.5 The Zone down there in Nashville. Coming up
as
next,
good as guy as a former Pittsburgh Steelers could be. As good a guy as a former Steeler could be.
Never
it
say
is
never,
nice
but
seeing you
never.
Guys, it's nice seeing you guys be able to come together after all of this, after all the battles, after all the head knocking here. This is
growth. Just a little
growth.
We're trying.
They're making the effort. Coming up next, we'll tell you who else got a lot to prove and a lot of efforts to make heading into the rest of this postseason, while one quarterback out in San Francisco is trying to make it be known that he is not done yet. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chris Canty. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Our thanks to Ramon Foster, former Steelers guard, for joining us on the Goodyear Hotline. You can catch him and any of what you missed of these conversations in the Canty and Golic Jr. podcast, wherever you get your podcast. But Chris, we've been asking folks on the hotline today, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, who's got the most to gain in this 2022 postseason as we get to the division round. And a lot of that was because we wanted to get the one seeds involved. I think Aaron Rodgers has a ton. You brought up Josh Allen and what he can move on with, but we had a caller bring up Jimmy Garoppolo's name in this postseason and that he's playing for his NFL future. Chris, we saw him do what he needed to do against the Cowboys this past weekend. The task gets tougher against the Green Bay Packers. Is there any world where he can end up back in San Fran after this season?
Nah, I don't see it, man. And I know a lot of people are saying, well, if the Niners go on a run, Jimmy G as the starting quarterback is going to get consideration for the starting job in 2022. But to that, I would say there's a reason why John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan invested 3 first-round draft picks in order to move up to take Trey Lance. They clearly know that the future at the quarterback spot for this team is going to be number 5, not number 10. So I think Jimmy Garoppolo was the bridge quarterback option for this season, and it just so happens that the team was able to find a way to be more competitive than anybody could have projected, especially after the first month of the regular season. So I'm not going to overreact to the team's success and grant Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, the status of being the starting quarterback in 2022. Because, Gojo, if you look at the numbers over the last five games, it's very average. I mean, he's got 5 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He tried to give away the game in Dallas late in that second half. So I don't know that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be the guy that's the difference in you winning a championship. I just don't see that. And if that's not the case, then you need to move off of him. I think Kyle Shanahan made up his mind a couple of years ago when Jimmy G didn't hit that throw over the top late in that game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And when he missed that throw to Emmanuel Sanders, that was the beginning of Jimmy G's ending with the San Francisco 49ers. So I don't anticipate that he's going to be back in 2022.
No, Jimmy Garoppolo's postseason record, he is 3-1, should be the ultimate reminder that wins are not a quarterback stat, right? Because in almost all these things, we had this conversation about Matthew Stafford in their wild card round win. It's not always because of the guy. Like, Deebo Samuel has been the star. Kyle Shanahan and Mike McDaniel's run game was the star of all this. What the Niners were able to do with four down pressure. Jimmy Garoppolo has always been able to make some timely throws. He is a good player in the NFL. And I think he's going to have a job somewhere next year. Like, Chris, we talk pie in the sky about all these veteran quarterbacks moving around next season. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to end up starting for somebody during some stretch of next year's NFL season, and probably giving you good minutes in that role. But we saw enough, too. Like, that's the other thing I don't want to lose sight of here is with Trey Lance. The Niners got what they wanted all along, a Patrick Mahomes-style gap year. But, Chris, did we not see enough in short bursts from Trey Lance to say, oh, yeah, there's the potential you banked on of a player who's markedly more talented?
Oh, man, absolutely. And that ball that he threw against the Houston Texans where he's rolling out to his right and throwing back to the left, ended up being a touchdown pass. Like, that's why you move up to number three to draft the guy at the quarterback spot, because he's capable of doing those things, not to mention all of the elements that he brings to the offense as a runner. It's just going to make one of the most innovative run games in the National Football League that much more dynamic. So I absolutely expect that Trey Lance is going to be the starting quarterback going into 2022, and the 49ers are going to approach the offseason as such. But I do think, based on the way that Jimmy G has played this year in the 15 games, that there is going to be a market for him via trade. And that's an asset that the San Francisco 49ers can use to continue to build their roster. I, for one, would like to see Jimmy G in a Giants uniform. I think he'd be a good guy to bring in to compete with Daniel Jones. I think there's something there with having a veteran quarterback to compete with a guy that you're still looking to find some answers on, who's on a rookie deal. So I think there are a lot of teams that are going to look at Jimmy G in that vein, somebody that can be a bridge to whatever else you're doing long-term at the quarterback position. A very good bridge, but a bridge nonetheless.
Yep, I say we just talked about that Ramon relative to the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you're a team like the Carolina Panthers who's going to need some help there and isn't ready to go all in on some of the big fish this offseason, Jimmy's going to be there to help, but I'm with you. There's no way he's San Fran's starter heading into 2022. You traded up and got the guy that you wanted in all of this. This wasn't a Jordan Love Packers situation where he was inactive every game behind Aaron Rodgers during his rookie season in Green Bay. Trey Lance, when he was healthy, was a part of this. It was special run game packages, was always a guy getting groomed along the way, the exact way that was a part of the plan. It is a luxury for teams to be able to do this, but much like Kansas City, who went to the playoffs with Alex Smith before Patrick Mahomes took over, I think we're dealing with a similar type progression, which, man, look out if Kyle Shanahan finally gets his dude at quarterback. But coming up next, we had Wild Card Weekend in the rear view. Let's head to the gutter for the bottom five with Chris Canty next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.